sighed. "The Malachi still has 5 of his sorrows by his side. Removing 1 won't make much difference."
Noir slid an intolerant grimace toward his daughter. "Patience, Anat. Have you learned nothing out in the human world?"
"Only how much I loathe the human vermin and wish to see them crushed beneath my hooves again."
Suddenly Noir leaned his head back and took a deep breath, as if he were in the throes of ultimate pleasure. After a few uncomfortable minutes, he opened his eyes and smiled at them.
"Ah, see, that's why I wanted his Saras here. They hold a part of the Malachi's powers. As such, I can feed from them and take back some of his strength. It's why all of you were kept from me and banned from here while you served him. Now bring me the rest of his little friends. Once we have him fully weakened and me fed, we shall be able to destroy him, and I'll be able to leave here, not as a ghost in a body I took over through possession, but as myself. Then we will rain down our will upon this world again and show them what they've missed."
"Hey, Mom," Nick said, as soon as he heard his mom's thick Cajun drawl when she answered the phone. "I'm sorry to bug you at work, but I'm really sick. I need to go home. Is that okay?"
"Baby boo, you sound so terrible and sad. Oh, honey. It's right in the middle of the lunch crowd. I can't leave. Let me call Michael and I'll send him to pick you up, okay?"
"Okay. I'm handing you to the school nurse to tell her. Love you, Ma."
"You too, baby. Please be okay. You rest and I'll be home as soon as I can to check on you. Call if you need me and I will come running. I'll quit if I have to."
Nick snorted at his mom's offer. She loved her job as a waitress at Sanctuary. Although if she ever learned her boss was a shape-shifting werebear, that might change.
"Don't do that. I'll live."
Though to be honest, he didn't feel like it at the moment. His mom made kissing noises at him. Cringing, he made them back at her, but much more subtly before he handed the phone to the nurse and blushed, then beat a hasty retreat from her office in order that he wouldn't have to face that "aw, how cute you are" look that so many gave him whenever he was nice to his mom. As he moved to sit down outside to wait, he met Madog St. James, who came into the office with a delivery for the secretary. At just under 6 feet, he was the son of 2 squire brain surgeons, literally, which was what had allowed him to create a mind-altering video game that demons had enchanted and used to possess their classmates.
Yeah, good times. Not even a little.
Nick was still having violent flashbacks from his zombie hunter experience. It was so bad, he couldn't even watch a zombie movie to this day. And poor Madog wouldn't so much as play solitaire on his PC after it. Still, he was one of Nick's best friends. And it was nice to occasionally hang out with someone who was frightfully normal. Madog's extremely high IQ notwithstanding. After all, compared to Madog, most people had the intelligence of a head of cabbage.
"Hey, Nick. What are you doing up here?"
"About to hurl?"
Madog jumped back. "Dude, I'm sorry. You contagious? Because if you are, I want it. I have a test next period, and I'm not prepared." Yeah, right. Madog was always prepared for tests. Even for the ones they wouldn't have until the end of the year. Kid was sick that way.
"Trust me. You don't want any part of this one."
"Yeah, you do look kind of green and disoriented. I take it means you're going to miss band practice after school?"
Nick nodded.
"Thanks for reminding me. Can you tell the others?"
"Sure, but Marlon's going to kill you. He's been looking forward to it.
He has a massive crush on Duff."
"Sorry. What's his problem anyway?"
"What, Duff? I don't know, distemper, maybe parvo?"
Nick scowled.
"Isn't that a dog disease?"
"Yeah, but I think our resident teen panther has it too. At least he acts like it most days."
That he did. He took brooding teen male to a whole new level. The entire 3 years he'd been in school with them, Nick had never heard him say a single word to anyone.
"Is he really mute, or did he sell his voice to a wizard?"
Madog laughed. "Neither. The correct term is selective mutism. His is an extreme case of it, most likely caused by his... You were giving me that look. Nick held his hands up.
Dude, it's a look of awe.
Sure it is, and before my social anxiety kicks in, I'm heading back. Hope you get to feeling better. You need me to sacrifice a goat or anything for you? Nick feigned a round of really fake laughter at something neither of them found particularly amusing, since Madag was the one Nick had turned into a goat with his powers when Nick had rescued him from the zombie hunter demons.
No. No goats. No more game programming ever, partner.
Yeah. Lesson learned. He bro-hugged him, then headed back to class. Nick shook his head. That boy was going to end up as a leading doctor somewhere. Or as an evil villain mastermind leading a horde of henchmen. Thank goodness he was on their side, for the moment. Suddenly, a huge, dark shadow fell over Nick. He started to scramble away out of reflex until he looked up and realized it was the mountainous, muscled mass also known as Big Bubba Burdett.
Jeez, Bubba, you scared the crap out of me.
Boy, you need to lay off the caffeine. You got the reflexes there of a scared chihuahua.
Yeah, well, given the fact that all manner of deadly things tended to pop out of the shadows intending to eat him or enslave him, it was little wonder. But he couldn't tell that to Bubba.
How you feeling?
Bubba put his hand on Nick's forehead.
Pretty awful.
You look pale.
Bubba grabbed his backpack.
Come on, I already signed you out.
Thank you, by the way, I really appreciate it.
Nick scowled as he caught a whiff of aftershave and realized that Bubba's scraggly beard wasn't so scraggly. He'd trimmed it down to one of those shadowy things that Cody and Brenna giggled about on Actors.
Did you shave?
Shut up.
And now that Nick was paying attention, he realized that Bubba wasn't wearing his usual uniform of bad horror movie t-shirt and ratted-up flannel shirt over it. Instead, he had on a nice button-down and new jeans. The only thing that remained of old Bubba was the heavy steel-toed work boots.
God, Bubba, that's my mama, you know?
He arched one jet eyebrow at Nick as he gave him a scathing glare that backed him down a notch. While Nick might be the Malachi, Bubba had been a semi-pro linebacker and was the size of a brick house with the muscle mass of a world champion weightlifter who could put him through a wall with a single sneeze. Not to mention, he was a raw, badass survivalist who went zombie hunting for fun in gator and demon-infested swamps.
Don't you even, boy. I asked you before I started going out with her, and you said it was all right.
I know what I said, but... Nick shivered. Can't I be grossed out?
Bubba snorted.
Grow up, Snotnose.
Nick was trying, but it was hard. While he wanted his mom to be happy, he didn't want to think of her actually dating someone, especially not his best friend and mentor. And the fact that Bubba let his mom call him Michael really screwed with Nick's head. Only Bubba's mama got away with that. And Charisse Gaucher. As they left the school building and Nick headed home, Bubba stopped him.
I told Charisse I'd take you back to the shop with me so that I could keep an eye on you till she gets off work.
Oh my God, Bubba, I'm about to turn 17, really?
Bubba's blue eyes darkened with tragedy. Nick mentally kicked himself as he remembered that Bubba's wife and son had been murdered because she'd gone home from work due to illness and had been there alone when an intruder had broken in on her.
You don't need to be by yourself while you're illin'. You need someone to watch over you so you can sleep.
Bubba's voice was emotionless, but his eyes weren't. They carried the full weight of grief and self-recrimination that Bubba crucified himself with. He held himself fully responsible for not going home early to be with his wife. It was why he took his zombie slaying to such extremes. Why he was overprotective of everyone. And that was why Nick had allowed him to date his mom. So long as Bubba was with her, he knew no one would ever harm a single hair on his mother's head. Bubba would break them in half first.
Okay.
Sorry. You're right. He didn't bother to tell Bubba that he wouldn't have been alone at his condo. Zev was there, Or should be. But then only he and his crew of friends knew that Zev was Mr. Fuzzy Boots. As they reached Bubba's computer and gun store that was just over a block from the school, Bubba opened the door for him.
Do I need to send Mark out for soup or anything?
No, I'm good for the moment, but pizza in an hour would be good. Pizza. Oh my God, Mikey, no wonder you like the boy. Sounds just like you. Nick hesitated, just inside the shop, at the sound of an unfamiliar male voice that was thick with a Middle Tennessee drawl. Reserved around strangers, he turned to see an average-height, heavy-set man at the counter who was probably in his late 50s. Even though they'd never met before, Nick knew him instantly.
Hey! It's Bubba from the commercials!
The only difference was that he didn't have on the flannel shirt or zombie tee either, but rather wore a red polo shirt and jeans, and his black hair and beard were laced with gray. Bubba stepped around him to put his backpack down behind the counter.
Nick, meet my father, Dr. Burdett. Dad, this is Nick.
Nick moved forward to shake his hand. Real pleasure to meet you, Dr. Burdett.
And you. Though to hear my son and wife talk about you, I was expecting an ankle-biting rugrat, not a half-grown man who stands eye to eye with my giant beast of a son.
He glanced at Bubba and shook his head with a sigh.
I swear to God, that boy's mama must have been feeding him fertilizer when I wasn't looking. Ain't nobody in my family ever been that tall, hers either, for that matter. If he didn't look just like me, I'd be wondering and eyeballing the mailman. Daddy, Bubba barked in a chiding tone.
What?
He asked, blinking innocently. It's God's truth and you know it.
Laughing, Mark stepped out from between the black curtains that separated the front of the store from the back room. Only a few years older than Nick, he was Bubba's sidekick and best friend and fellow zombie-hunting lunatic. The two of them got into all manner of madness whenever Nick turned his back on them. The yin to Bubba's yang, he was as fair as Bubba was dark, with shaggy light brown hair and bright green eyes that seldom stopped laughing. Like Bubba, he'd gone to college on a full football scholarship, and they'd grown up together in Tennessee before moving to New Orleans.
Aw, now don't let Nick's height fool you, Dr. Burdett. He's still an ankle biter.
Mark smirked at Nick.
How you feeling, kiddo?
Sick.
Well, don't give it to me or I'll make you wash Bubba's underwear for the next month.
Bubba snorted as he started opening the day's shipment and checking it in.
Don't I pay you to work?
Nah, you pretend to pay me and I pretend to work.
Ignoring them, Bubba's father came around the counter to examine Nick.
So, what are your symptoms? Sore throat?
Eyes wide, Nick glanced at Bubba.
He's a GP. General practitioner. Worse than my mom. Surrender, kid. It's just easier that way. He ain't gonna leave you alone until you do.
Oh, great.
If the doctor pulled him in for tests, he was still the Malachi, with some unusual traits, and if they uncovered the fact that he wasn't human, things could get ugly fast. Clearing his throat, he sought to avert disaster.
Not too bad. Mostly headache, and tired, and achy.
Might just be a cold.
Let me take him back and get your vitals. Check you out. You're the one with the pre-existing heart condition, right?
He is.
Bubba!
Nick snapped.
Don't Bubba me, boy. Your mama and mine would skin me alive if anything happened to you on my watch. Personally, I think my mama likes you better anyway.
His dad laughed. Completely not true. I was once mopping the kitchen floor when Mikey came running through the house for no good reason like someone was trying to kill him and fell. Now, a normal woman would be mad at the kid for tracking mud on my freshly mopped floor. Let me reiterate, normal woman.
I didn't marry normal. I married Bobby Jean Clinton Burdett. Ain't no normal in that family tree, I'm telling you.
So faster than I can blink, his mama took that mop handle to me, cause that boy done skinned his knee on my fresh clean floor. I'm telling you, she got a hold of me so viciously over it that I thought one of them Greek furies had done descended on me from Mount Olympus. You'd have thought that boy lost his leg the way she carried on. But he barely bruised it. Didn't even bleed. But boy, howdy, I surely did.
You did not, Bubba snorted. And I was 4 when it happened.
4 nothing. It was last year.
Bubba laughed and shook his head.
It was not.
Sighing, he met Nick's gaze.
One thing to know about my father, he don't always tell the truth.
Now that ain't so. I always tell the truth. I just do so creatively. Makes it more entertaining for folks that way.
He draped his arm over Nick's shoulders and led him to the back where Bubba and Mark worked on computers while Bubba called Nick's mom to let her know that he'd picked him up and had him in custody. Dr. Burdett had him sit on a stool next to Bubba's linked computer monitors that had an interesting array of food lined up across them. He smiled as he saw Nick frowning at it.
Excuse my food porn. Bobby Jean keeps me on so many diets, that's my sin right there. Anytime I get out of her sight, I start looking up desserts I can't eat and salivating like Pavlov's dog. You wouldn't want to smuggle me one of them beignets later, would you?
Don't you dare, Nick,
Bubba called from the other side of the curtains.
He's diabetic and in to have any while he's here.
His father growled at him.
You and your mama, boy. What good is a conference in the Big Easy when I can't have any of the food here? You might as well shoot me and put me out of my misery.
Bubba carried a box of parts to the back to put them on the shelf.
I don't want to shoot you, Daddy, but I would like to keep you around for a while. So would Mama.
Don't break her heart. You promised her you'd behave and stay on your diet.
Nick patted him on the shoulder.
I feel your pain, Dr. Burdett. You should meet my mom. She forces me to eat vegetables, he shuddered, and other girl foods. It's terrible.
Bubba laughed.
He's right about that. But Charisse is a great cook. I swear that woman can turn ketchup packets into a gourmet meal.
His dad got a strange expression on his face at that.
I think he has a fever. You mind if I take him up and get my kit?
Sure. I was gonna let him rest in my bed anyway till his mama gets off work.
Bubba narrowed his gaze on Nick.
I mean that, too. Don't let me catch you surfing porn on my PC up there. You can watch TV, but I want you resting.
Yes, sir, Bubba, sir. Nick scooted off the stool and headed for the stairs that led up to Bubba's two-floor condo above his store. As he walked up, it struck him just how familiar he'd become with Bubba over the last few years. In weird ways, he was like his father. For that matter, he was the only father Nick had ever really known. Even though his real father had lived with him for a time, Adarian had never felt fatherly, never felt like he belonged as part of their family. To the day he died, he'd been a surreal stranger. From the moment Nick had wandered into Bubba's store to rent time on a computer for a school project, Bubba had been different, like Kirian and Asheron. Nick felt as if he'd always known them, as if they were family from eons ago and had lifetimes of history together. Asheron would say it was because lives were a tangled tapestry of overlapping threads that spanned centuries. Souls born and reborn, always reconnecting when they were supposed to, and that Nick had met them before. Madog would call it inherited memory. He'd written an entire paper on it for class. In his mind, the DNA of previous generations left a permanent imprint on each person when they were born, and that when two people whose DNA had interacted in another lifetime came together in their current one, some primal part of their anatomy sparked like dormant neurons in the brain firing awake. That was why he thought humans had that feeling of having met someone before or having known them forever. Nick wasn't sure what he thought. He only knew what he felt. His father had left him cold. The saddest part about losing his father was that he didn't grieve over Adarian's passing, and that made him feel defective. Broken. Vacant. Yet he knew that if he lost Bubba or Kirian, it would be different. Their loss would devastate him, as would Mark's, or one of his friends. Even Zavit, and he barely knew him. The thought of his friend being held and tortured, he had to get his powers back and find him. In the back of his mind, he could still see the condition Zavid had been in when they met. Held without comfort or dignity, treated more like an animal than a sentient being. It was how his father had dealt with people. And it was something Nick couldn't stomach. Dr. Burdett led him into Bubba's condo and went to the guest room to get his doctor's bag. Nick made a beeline into Bubba's room and grabbed a pillow from the bed and the blanket he kept folded on the chair, then headed for the couch. When Dr. Burdett returned, he scowled at Nick, who was lying down.
You're not gonna rest in the bed.
Nick wrinkled his nose.
Feels like I'm invading his privacy to be in there. Man's gotta have his own space, you know?
Dr. Burdett laughed.
You are a good kid, for a demon.
Pardon? He stepped back to glance at the door, as if to assure himself that they were alone.
You have one shot to come clean with me, boy, and you better tell me the truth, because I will know a lie, and a lie will get you killed. What kind are you?
As he spoke, he didn't pull a stethoscope out of his bag. Dr. Bruce Burdett pulled out a gleaming gold sword that thrummed with ancient power. Moving faster than Nick could counter, he pinned him to the couch and held him there.
You have 3 seconds before I take your head.
Chapter 5.
Nick tried to scale up the wall like a spider monkey to escape Bubba's father, but whatever that sword was made of, it kept him locked in place, like some kind of invisible hand slapping him down. Dang, those weapons! Couldn't anyone carry regular steel anymore? He glared at the older man, who was really spry for a pudgy dude.
What are you? I ask the questions here, demon, not you. You have 2 seconds left.
Just as Nick went to answer, a blur tackled Dr. Burdett and sent him slamming against the floor. He rolled and came to his feet, then swung at his assailant. The assailant turned out to be a pissed-off Caleb, who ducked and swept Dr. Burdett off his feet again before he disarmed him with a punch so hard Nick swore he felt it. When Caleb moved in for more damage that appeared to be a planned beheading, Nick sprang from the couch.
Whoa, buddy, whoa!
Caleb looked at him as if he'd lost his mind. Whoa!
Are you friggin' kidding me? He was about to pop your head off.
Yeah, but he's Bubba's dad, I think. I mean, he is, right? He's not possessed? I can't tell. My powers are really crap at the moment.
Caleb angled the sword at Dr. Burdett. Yeah, he's human. Not that I count his breed as particularly humane. He's a demon hunter. That makes him your enemy, Nick. Let me kill him. Do us both a favor.
No. Again, he's Bubba's daddy. I can't do that to the man or his mama. He scowled at Caleb.
How'd you get here anyway? Or know that I was in trouble?
He gave him a droll stare.
Seriously? I can't let you out of my sight without you getting, and I quote you on this, nicknapped by something that wants to eat you, cage you, or possess you. So I've learned to keep an eye on you, and I've been trailing you since the second you left school. 'Cause I knew you were gonna find trouble, and look,
he said, his voice dripping with sarcasm as he gestured at Bubba's father.
Lo and behold, you did.
Dr. Burdett glared at Caleb.
You're a Dave. Esmeet Dave, with something a lot more powerful backing it. Otherwise, I'd have had you.
Caleb scoffed,
heartily. Don't flatter yourself or insult me.
He bared his fangs at him.
Now it's your turn for full disclosure. Give me a reason not to bleed you out at my feet.
He pulled his sleeve back to show a faint scar where a tattoo seemed to have been at one time.
I was a hell chaser. Was? Earn my freedom.
He slid his gaze to Nick.
But you're right. I have the blood of a necrodemion, too. That's what you're reacting to.
A what? Nick asked, trying to follow what was an impossible discussion. Caleb glanced at him over his shoulder.
Bubba isn't quite as crazy as we thought, Nick. Well, he is, but, you know, zombie hunting notwithstanding.
Reason why he does some of what he does?
And why the things that chase you also chase him? He's a natural-born hell hunter. But like you, and unlike his father here, his blood is dormant, which is why I haven't cut his throat.
something I assure you I would have done had I known he was one of them. Well, that wasn't even a little bit useful to him. Kay was still hogging all the information, and Nick was as lost as a 3-year-old in a snowstorm. Caleb lowered the sword and held his hand out to help Dr. Burdett to his feet.
"Which line are you part of?"
"Michelson." Caleb let out a scoffing laugh.
"Shouldn't have known. That explains so much about Bubba."
Nick scratched at his ear. "Glad someone knows what's going on, because I'm all kinds of clueless over here." Ignoring him, Caleb held the sword out to Dr. Burdett, hilt first.
"Keep that in your pants. We're on the same side. Nick's girlfriend is an Arel."
His jaw went slack.
"How's that possible?" "I ask myself that every morning when I get up and she hasn't killed him. Not so much for being a demon as for being an idiot, but that's another discussion."
Nick sputtered indignantly. "Thanks, Kay. Way to bolster my teen ego."
"Yeah, right. There's nothing wrong with the ego of anyone who'd dare wear that shirt in public and not die instantly of mortification or bad taste poisoning."
Rubbing a hand over his face, Caleb let out a tired breath and turned back toward the doctor.
"So, you're the real reason Bubba's wife and son were murdered."
Dr. Burdett winced as he straightened some of the items they'd knocked over.
"Yeah. It was an old enemy after me. I'd just left town, and I thought I'd covered my tracks so that none of them could follow me. Somehow the demon tracked my scent to Michael's and found her there alone with little Hank."
Tears welled in his eyes as they filled with utter misery and guilt. The kind that left its mark on the soul forever.
"She was completely unprepared for what I unknowingly led to her door. And you've no idea how much I hate myself for what I did to my child and grandchild. What I did to Melissa. I should have told Michael long ago what we were, but I never thought the blood would taint him."
"He doesn't know?"
Caleb asked.
"No. How could I tell him after that? He'd hate me forever for not warning him. And I can't blame him for it. I hate myself enough for both of us."
Nick saw the same pain play through Caleb's dark eyes. No doubt he was thinking about his own wife and what had happened to her when he'd left her to fight in a war he'd wanted no part of. An ageless war he was still having to fight that had cost him everything and left him with nothing, except physical scars and memories so painful he couldn't stand to think them. Not that Nick didn't understand himself. It was the same fate that would eventually claim his beloved mother at the hands of his own enemies if he didn't find some way to derail a future that left him screaming in his dreams as much as Caleb's nightmares from his past. Caleb stepped closer to Nick as if to protect him.
"How long were you a hell chaser?" 10 years.
Nick frowned.
"Wait, what?"
"Yeah, I'm agreeing with Nick. How's that possible? No one gets a term that short."
"You do when you sell your soul for someone else's benefit and not your own personal gain."
Nick cleared his throat meaningfully.
"All right, back the train up, conductors. I need some explaining. I know when we freed Zavid, there was a hell chaser after him who wanted to drag him back to his prison realm. But that's the extent of my knowledge on this subject matter. Y'all are making me feel like I'm in chem class again with them weird doodads on the board. I take it there are different kinds of hell chasers?"
"Sort of," Caleb finally explained. "Hell chasers are damned souls that Thorn, for whatever reason, believes can be redeemed. He makes a pact with the Mavromino to salvage those souls if he can. And if everyone agrees to the terms, those souls are allowed to work off their debt to Thorn. If they keep their noses clean and behave, at the end of their term, they're set free to live out normal, happy lives."
"That doesn't sound so bad."
Dr. Burdett let out a bitter sigh.
"You've no idea the things the other side sends after us to reclaim us. They know every thought, every fear, every desire. And they use it all against you. It's the worst hell you can conceive. They're completely unrelenting and highly imaginative."
Caleb nodded.
"Yeah,
They are bad. I'm on a first-name basis with a large number of them. He rubbed at his temple.
So how did you end up in Thorne's clutches?
I bargained my soul for my son's life. Nick's jaw went slack as he finally understood at least part of this. When Bubba had that really bad wreck with Hank in college?
Hank had been Mark's older brother that Bubba had named his son for.
Bubba's lifelong best friend, who'd been killed in the crash. It was something no one talked about, but it haunted both Bubba and Mark, and was why Bubba was so protective of his sidekick, and why the two of them had become as close as brothers. Why they might fight like an old married couple, but if anyone so much as lifted an evil eyebrow in Mark's general direction, Bubba would lay them out cold.
His father nodded. Michael almost died that night, too. It didn't happen exactly the way he remembers it. That was part of my bargain. I didn't want my boy to have any worse guilt from it than what he already does.
Dr. Burdett paused, as if his emotions overwhelmed him. When he spoke again, his voice trembled.
They'd already told us to pick out funeral clothes for Michael. Said he wouldn't make it through the night.
A tear slid from the corner of his eye.
You've no idea what it feels like to hear those words about someone you love.
Caleb laughed bitterly.
Yeah, I do. Trust me.
He wiped at his face and sniffed back his tears.
Anyway, from the moment Michael was born and I saw those aged celestial eyes of his, I knew he carried the bloodline, and he was one of the chosen who might be called on one day to fight the unspeakable horrors no one should know walks in the daylight with us. I did everything I could to keep him as far away from all of it as I could. Moved him away from my family, kept him shielded and ignorant of the things we deal with daily. Yet somehow, evil like you always seeks him out. No matter where he goes.
Excuse me? Nick asked. I do have feelings, people. Rolling his eyes, Caleb shook his head.
Yeah, Nick's not the one you need to be fearing, but go on.
He let out a tired breath.
A part of me always believed that it was why Michael had that wreck. It was them bastards going after him that night, either to get to me or him before he became active and aware of his powers.
Probably. Caleb shook his head in sympathy.
Who'd you summon for your bargain?
Caiaphas.
He made a noise that said Dr. Burdett had chosen poorly. Either that, or the demon had mutated into a hen and was about to lay an egg. With Caleb, just about anything was possible. Groaning and covering his face with his hand, Caleb stared at Dr. Burdett from between his spread fingers.
Why in the name of all unholy would you summon that jackass? He answered, and no one else did.
He said simply,
my blood wasn't even dry on the contract before Thorne showed up, screaming the deal was invalid and that it went against whatever it is they have for a code. For whatever reason, he took up my cause and was able to negotiate a reprieve because I'd done it with noble intentions. You're lucky. Thorne doesn't often do that.
Yeah, I know. It's why I still hunt for him from time to time. I feel like I owe him that much. If you knew what he has to bargain with, you'd realize you owe him a lot more than that.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Caleb returned to Nick's side.
You feeling any better?
Nope, and I'm a lot worse with all this confusion. What's a Hellhunter?
Caleb growled deep in his throat. Like a dog with a bone, you never know when to let it go and bury it.
How is it that he knows so little?
He's part Sephiroth.
Dr. Burdett went stock still for several seconds before he shook his head.
That's impossible. And yet here he stands, a total contradiction of everything a Malachi should be, because he carries the blood of a half-Sephiroth mother.
With a scoffing laugh, Dr. Burdett crossed his arms over his chest. And that makes as much sense as my existence does, so I'll shut up about it. Turning around, Caleb finally took mercy on Nick. To answer your question, you've actually met some Hell Hunters. You just didn't know it. And luckily, they didn't know you, Mr. Mortal Enemy, bane of their entire existence. Okay, where did they come from? They were a necessary evil after the Bellum Magnus. Your great ancestor had unleashed so many demons during the First War and corrupted them that we couldn't corral them all back into their respective holes. Much like Artemis and her Dark Hunters, the Colossum designated warriors who would be charged with hunting them down and either returning them to their prisons or killing them. The first group was hand-selected from volunteers. They'd been among some of the best warriors and heroes of the Bellum, and because they knew the inherent dangers of the creatures they were pursuing, they understood that their lives would be short. You don't hunt that level of badass for long without losing a fight and your life. The Colossum knew there wouldn't be any way to maintain a constant supply of warriors with their same skill set and strength. No way to adequately train replacements in time. So, like a Malachi, Dr. Burdett said, picking up the explanation, they agreed to have their Uissa and souls bound to seraph medallions and swords. Upon their death, those medallions call to another family member, the medallion deems worthy to pick up their swords and fight. Their lore is undeniable, and once you take the medallion in your hand, you're screwed. Caleb gave a bitter laugh. You don't get to back out of it. The only way is if Gabriel refuses to let you fight. He alone has the ability to call the seraph out of you and return it to the medallion before your death.
Oh, goody. That didn't sound like fun.
So, after they possess you, what happens to the person you were? It's not possession, Caleb said quickly. Again, it's like you with the Malachi. They gain the memories of their predecessors so that they can call on their knowledge and strength to fight the demons they have to go after. You know, Nick. It's a cheat code to take the big monster at the end of the game without having to bank experience points. The more demons we defeat, the stronger we become. Yeah, Caleb said with an odd half-laugh. And if one of them can put down a Malachi, he'd be the humdaddy of them all. Which is why, kid, we need to keep you far away from them. Duly noted, avoid Hell Hunters, pointy objects, and any Hell Realm, Hell Mouth, and babes wielding swords, except for the one I'm currently dating.
You're really dating an Arel? Dr. Burdett asked again.
Yeah.
The world makes no sense.
He glanced at Caleb.
It's the end times, isn't it?
That's what we're trying to avoid. Now that Nick was sure his death wasn't imminent, he sat down on the couch. You're not going to try and exorcise me or anything while I rest, are you? You sling holy water on him, you'll be extremely disappointed. I'm rather sure his mother fed it to him in his baby bottle. No, she didn't, Malphus. That was frankincense oil. Learn the difference. Excuse me. I didn't mean to confuse them.
Caleb rolled his eyes. Dr. Burdett gave them a look that said he was having a hard time imagining them in their true respective roles.
How is it a Malachi knows so little about demons?
He screams like a girl if he has to watch a horror movie.
Hey!
Well, you do. I tried to watch Child's Play and you ran off to hide during the opening credits. And then he had to go sleep with his mom in her bed for 3 days because he was so scared.
Dude, you promised me you weren't going to tell anyone about that.
Dr. Burdett gaped. You're not kidding.
Of course not. I have to change his jeans whenever he wets them. Okay, that's it. You're banned from watch duty. Don't I have someone else who can guard me? Where's Zev? At least he doesn't speak to anyone. Never mind tell them horrifying truths about me. Except for the pants wetting. For the record, I quit doing that.
Yeah, last year.
Caleb!
Dr. Burdett laughed. You two are not the norm I'm used to running across in this job.
Caleb snorted disdainfully. That's because you hang out with loser classes of demons. You should party with me and my friends sometime. Leave the weaponry at home, though. You pull something on one of us and we will return it to your possession through your least comfortable orifice.
Nick cocked his head as a weird vision went through his mind.
Funny. He never really thought about what Caleb did when they weren't together, who he hung out with. Since Caleb didn't talk about it, he'd assumed that he went into demon limbo or something. Although Caleb had been really familiar with all the creatures on the other side of the veil when they'd gone into the Shadowland to rescue Nick's mother the night his father died. In his head, he saw Caleb in a peculiar bar, laughing and joking with a group of demons who weren't disguised as humans. They were fully demoned out. Even Caleb had let his freak demon fly. "I didn't know you had pointed ears like an elf. You're the one I should be calling Legolas instead of Aaron." Caleb turned toward him with a sharp frown. "What was that?" Nick blinked. "I had an image of you with friends in the Veil world. You were in your normal skin, so to speak. Since we've always been one step from death, whenever I've seen you in your demon form, I never noticed your ears."
"Yours are pointed too, FYI."
"Really?"
Caleb nodded. "Teeth, too. You're totally sick when you go Malachi."
"Great. Good to know. Don't do that in front of a girlfriend I want to keep."
Caleb came forward to squat down in front of Nick with a fierce frown. "This is so strange."
"What?"
"It's like... but it can't be."
"Like what? You're scaring me."
"Told you," he mumbled under his breath. "Friends like a 3-year-old girl."
Then louder, he spoke to Nick.
"You have all the symptoms a Darian would show any time you came near him. I swear it's like there's another Malachi here. But there can't be. It's not possible." He glanced at Dr. Burdett. "What tools are you carrying?"
"Nothing that would drain a Malachi. I have my sword, some holy water. Nothing too powerful. I wasn't planning on stalking anything while I was here. Michael would be better stocked for that than I am."
Caleb tilted his head up to look at the sigils and symbols Bubba had inscribed on his walls and windows for protection.
"Yeah,
but he's not. Other than some salt, which doesn't affect Kid Supreme, there's nothing he's used that would touch him. We're over all the time with no ill effects. Bubba has invited us in, so we're safe."
"It doesn't make sense."
"How does Michael not know what you are?"
"Not something we spread around. And Nick's mother has no clue either. We intend to keep it that way. Yet she's part Sephiroth and has no clue about that either. Again, long story."
"It'd have to be," Dr. Burdett said with a laugh. "But in all seriousness, if he's lost or losing power, then there's something here that's dark. Something that's found a way to channel his power for its own use."
"That's what I'm thinking."
"You know, if it's able to do that,
it's not here to make friends."
Nick didn't like the direction their conversation was headed. "So what are you two thinking?"
Caleb gave him a long, hard stare.
"That whatever has you knows what you are. Knows that you're not adept at your powers, and that who or whatever it is has a plan to take you down and take the rest of us with you."
"That's normal. We can stop them, we always do."
"There's just one problem."
Nick couldn't imagine what. "And that is?"
"We don't know who. We don't know what. We don't know how."
"That's not one, that's three."
"No, Punkin, that's one big, badass entity with serious skills who's gonna mop the floor with us."
"But you said that I couldn't die now."
"Yeah, as the Malachi. But if they take the Malachi out of you..."
"I can die, after all." Caleb nodded.
"Yeah. In the past, it's only been the Malachi's son who had the ability to weaken him. But if someone or something has found another way to do it..."
"I'm finished."
"We all are."
"You think that's why Aaron's gone?"
Caleb shrugged.
"I don't know. I wasn't able to find a trace of him earlier. It's like he's vanished from the face of this earth. I don't know what's happened to him."
A bad feeling went through Nick, but he refused to let it take root. Aaron wouldn't be behind this. He wouldn't. That was the Malachi voice that wanted to hate everyone around him, to trust no one with anything. But this was coming from somewhere. As usual, he was being targeted for extinction. The problem, though, was that he had no idea where to begin looking for this enemy. If it was Grimm, he was doing a great job hiding. If it was something else, he was screwed, because they wouldn't see it coming until who or what made its move. And the one thing they'd all learned over these past few years, whenever that happened, it left a mark. Nick only prayed that this time it didn't take his head, or worse, the head of someone close to him. Chapter 6.
See, honey's fine. Told you I wasn't gonna let anything happen to your young'un.
Nick glanced up as his mom and Bubba came through the door. As tiny as Bubba was large, Charisse Gaucher had blonde hair and vivid blue eyes that filled her angelic face. Still dressed in her black sanctuary t-shirt from work, she rushed past Bubba to the couch where Nick was sitting with Cody. Faster than he could move, she latched onto him with her ninja mom moves and octopus-like tentacle grip. Dang, for a tiny woman, she was stronger than all get-out. Forget toddler strength. His mother could match Hercules.
Ma! Can't! Breathe! You're choking off my airway! Counterproductive move, release chokehold on your soul progeny before you kill him?
Laughing, she ruffled his hair before she kissed his forehead to check for a fever. Unlike a normal mother, who would use her hand or a sanitary thermometer, his mom had never once done that. Nope, Charisse Gaucher always checked with a kiss and a tickle, which made him jump and let out an undignified noise in front of his girl and best friend, something he did not appreciate. But all Caleb did was make a face while Cody laughed. Meanwhile, his mom didn't care that her son had no measurable dignity or ego, hence his most hideous wardrobe, and her need to cup his face like he was still 3 and pinch playfully at his cheeks until he flashed a dimple at her.
You do feel a warm, boo, but not bad. How are you feeling?
Better till you pinched me. Cody brought my homework. He held his English book up for her to see. I'm almost done with my assignments. His mom patted Cody's knee.
Thank you, Miss Cody.
My pleasure, Miss Gaucher. We can't have our boy flunking. They might move my seat next to stone. Then I'd have to shoot myself. She laughed as she rose to her feet.
You want some pizza?
Nick gestured toward the box on the coffee table. His mom wrinkled her nose.
No, and you need to lay off eating so much of it. You're going to turn into one if you're not careful.
She stepped back to take the bag from Bubba's hand.
I brought you some of Jose's chicken noodle soup from Sanctuary. He made a batch just for you, and Mama Lo sent over some gumbo for you, and I think Papa Bear snuck in a bear claw, even though I told him not to.
Thanking her, Nick took the sanctuary bag and opened it, then laughed. That's not all they snuck in here. He pulled out a styrofoam cup. Mama Lo Dunn sent me some bread pudding. Flashing a grin, he protectively cradled it in his hands so that his mom couldn't confiscate it. And I'm not sharing this, but there's plenty of other stuff if anyone else is hungry. With an irritated noise, his mom met Bubba's amused smile.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with that boy.
What you always do. Tolerate him and love him. But as you can see, he's fine. So are we still on for dinner?
She bit her lip and turned back toward Nick with an arched brow. I'm fine, Mom. Cody and Caleb can babysit me. You know they're both responsible adults and I won't be alone. We can have Aunt Minnie or Mark check in on us.
You're not going to work tonight, boo?
I already called Kieran and told him that I caught Rosa's ick. He wasn't happy, but he's not going to kill me for it. Thank goodness Rosa had gotten sick and it had given him a good excuse for not going in. She glanced at Caleb and Cody.
Your parents are good with you both staying a little later than normal? I don't want either of you to get in trouble. Do I need to call them?
His poor mom had no idea that Caleb was thousands of years old, and that his parents had literally kicked him to the curb 3 minutes after his birth. As for Cody, right now her father was imprisoned on a vanishing isle in the Greek underworld, and her mother was frozen in an immortal sleep as a statue in the Atlantean heaven realm. It would still be a few years, before her father was released, and a lot longer before Styx would be able to reclaim her mother. And since the only reason for Cody's father's initial reprieve would be for him to open a hellgate by killing Ash and unleashing a whole group of demons into the world in an attempt to raise the goddess of destruction, they were better off not asking his permission about anything. Styx just wasn't in the best frame of mind at present. He would need a few decades to zen so that he could forgive Asheron and humanity and realize that the world didn't need to come to a screaming, horrific end.
"We're good, Ms. Gaucher,"
Caleb said, in that kind tone that he only used with her, and Nick appreciated it more than Caleb would ever know. It meant a lot to him that his friends took as good care of his mom as he did. While the two of them might not always get along or agree on things, his mother was all he had, and Nick would skin alive anyone who harmed her or hurt her feelings.
"Okay. If you're sure. Like I said, I don't want either of you in trouble with your parents. And I definitely don't want your parents worrying about you. There's nothing more terrifying than not knowing where your child is."
"No fears, Ms. Gaucher," Cody smiled. "We'll see Nick home and make sure he's taken care of. You two go and have a great dinner. Don't worry about anything." "Not a puppy, people. I can walk and tie my own shoes and everything."
"I wouldn't take that bet,"
Caleb mumbled under his breath.
"Your shoes have been untied all day."
"That's called a fashion choice."
"It's called a broken leg waiting to happen, but far be it from me to correct your delinquent behavior. I can use the laughter when you trip and fall and bust your—"
Caleb glanced at Charisse as he barely caught himself before he spoke profanity.
"Rump."
Bubba laughed at them. His mom just shook her head at Caleb before she spoke to Bubba.
"Give me an hour and pick me up."
"We can go now if you want."
She smiled sweetly.
"Michael, I'd like to take a shower and get the smell of fried grease off my hair and change out of my work clothes."
"Why? I think you smell real good and look even better."
Nick groaned. "Hello? Do you mind? Son is present and choking on my own bile. Gah, old people, y'all are so gross." His mother glared at him.
"Eat your pudding and shush. And I'm not old. I'm barely over 30. You'll be here before you know it."
She turned back to Bubba.
"See you in an hour."
When she went to kiss him, Bubba pulled away. She gave him a stricken look. He jerked his chin toward Nick,
trying not to antagonize the most important man in your life.
"I'm not looking," Nick groused. "I already threw up in my mouth. And Ma, I don't want no grief from you the next time you come into a room and I'm innocently leaning too close to Cody. Because I know we're not doing anything, and I don't want to know what you two do or don't do, and you better not be doing nothing, that's all I'm saying." She shook her head and sighed.
"I have raised a rotten child."
Bubba grinned.
"Nah, he's a good one. It's why I've let him live this long. Though drowning is still an option if he ever gets too lippy. I do know how to dump a body in the swamp where no one will ever find it. Gator's gotta eat and all that."
Laughing, she paused at the door.
"You wanna come on home with me, Boo?
And can I finish my food?
I thought you were sick."
"I am sick. You know the saying. Starve a fever, feed a cold. So I'm feeding it this bread pudding while it's still warm." She pressed her hand to her forehead.
"Thank goodness I work for a restaurant and a kind-hearted boss who doesn't mind it when I take food home. Otherwise, I'd never be able to afford groceries for that boy. I swear his legs are hollow."
"My mama always said the same thing about me. That and that I was a reincarnated tapeworm. But it's all the football drills your boy runs, Charisse. You gotta feed that metabolism."
"Just don't let me forget to bring home leftovers for him after dinner."
Nick groaned at her. "Again, not a puppy, Ma. I don't need a doggy bag."
"Says the boy who will be starving by the time we get back tonight."
She gave Bubba a quick peck on the cheek.
"I'll see you shortly. Nick, behave."
"You too."
As soon as she was gone, Bubba scratched uncomfortably at his jaw.
You sure you're okay with this?
Nick hesitated. Honestly? He was a lot of confused about it. His mother was a sacred entity where he was concerned, and he didn't like sharing her with other people, ever. He never had. Even as a kid, it had bothered him to see her holding another baby, even at church. But he was getting old enough to appreciate the fact that his mother had never dated, and that he'd selfishly taken up her entire life since the moment he'd been born. Like she said, she wasn't old, but he'd hogged every day of her youth. She deserved to be happy and to find a decent guy who would treat her like the queen she was. When all was said and done, he couldn't think of anyone better than Bubba, except Kieran. But he knew from Ambrose that Kieran had another destiny waiting. Another woman he was meant for. And Bubba deserved another chance to find a woman who could love him. Since the day he lost his wife and son, he hadn't dated either. He'd been locked up in this business and zombie hunting with Mark, a lost, lonely soul. Yet whenever Bubba was around his mom, a light came on in his eyes. His cocksure friend lost a lot of his composure. It did Nick's fragile ego good to see that he wasn't the only oversized male his tiny mom cowed and unsettled. Besides, he really did admire Bubba. Yeah, I'm just busting your chops, Triple Threat. Bubba grinned at his old football nickname that only Nick used these days.
All right. I meant what I said, Nick. You're both important to me. And you're definitely the most important thing to Charisse. Last thing I want to do is cause problems between you. Say the word, we go back to how we used to be.
It's all good. Really. Now go get dressed, don't keep her waiting. She can't stand that, trust me. I still got the handprints on my butt to prove it.
He snorted. Your mother's never laid a hand at you, and we both know it.
Not true, he whimpered playfully. Her harsh words singe my soul.
Okay, Bubba said with a laugh. Fine. Mark's watching the store tonight. If you need anything, he can get right over to you. My dad is out with his friends, but he should be back before much longer. And you know if you need anything, me and your mom are just a quick call away.
Yes, sir.
But unless Caleb gets frisky with the stove, I'm not anticipating any problems.
Frisky with the stove? Caleb scowled. What fresh lunacy is this?
You know, your house? I saw your kitchen? Looked like Mark came through it with his flamethrower.
Mark did come through it with his flamethrower, chasing demons, Caleb said indignantly. Daniel burned it down, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Nick grinned at Bubba.
We'll be better off without Mark, I'm thinking. Considering the fact the boy almost fried himself to God with his cell phone cord and burned his Jeep completely up with it. Yeah, I'm thinking you're right. Don't call Mark on second thought.
He jerked his head toward his bedroom.
I'm gonna change clothes. I'm taking your mom to Brennan's if you need us.
Nick made the sound of agony at the thought of them going there without him. He was already salivating. Bring me back some dessert? Bubba laughed.
Aye. Will do.
As soon as he was gone, Nick slid his gaze to Cody. Manyaras? Yes. I'll get Zev. Caleb made a sound of total disgust.
Why?
This concerns him. Then Nick froze, as he realized something.
Holy crap, Caleb.
You're my uncle.
He curled his lip in that surly way only Caleb could manage. No.
Cody laughed. It's worse. He's the half-brother of your great-grandfather. Caleb glared at her.
You're not helping.
No, but I am entertaining myself at your adorable expense. Nick snickered.
Yeah. Y'all are missing the important fact. To a Cajun, that makes him my uncle. Great, I always wanted to be a monkey's uncle. Nice to know I succeeded.
Now, why you want to go and hurt my feelings?
Mostly because I can't break any of your bones or feed off your blood.
He got up.
Come on, sport, let's go see if Manyara has any insight into this.
Sure thing, Uncle K.
Oh, God, he groaned. Don't call me that. It could cause an involuntary reaction.
Such as?
Repeat stabbing.
When did this escalate to violence?
Caleb arched a brow.
Remember our earlier encounter with Bubba's father? He called me an Esme Dave.
Yeah, what of it?
They're the Rage Daves, Nick. Cody stood up. Much like a Malachi, they live in a state of perpetual ire and are always looking for a fight or trying to start one.
Caleb nodded.
That explains so much about your personality.
Yeah, I'm just like you. Irritating from my first breath to my last.
Caleb clapped him on the back so hard Nick stumbled.
Good to be alive.
I really need a book on this. I miss my grimoire girl.
Cody frowned.
Where's Nashira?
Don't know.
Both her and Aaron have abandoned me. I haven't seen either one in forever.
Caleb passed an irritated grimace to Cody.
Define forever. 3 hours? 3 days?
That tone pissed him off. 2 days on Shira, and you knew about Aaron. Caleb cursed.
I didn't know he was the second one to go missing.
Third, if you count Dagon.
Caleb literally froze. He was so still that for a moment Nick thought someone had cast a spell on him. But after a few heartbeats, he blinked and turned toward the two of them.
Let me get this straight. Dagon, Aaron, and Nashira are all AWOL at the same time.
Yes?
And you just now thought to mention this.
Didn't think it was important. I assumed they'd be back. At least Cody appeared as confused by Caleb's overreaction as he did.
What is it, Caleb?
Aaron wouldn't have just taken off. Not if he had an assignment. Same for Nashira. She doesn't have family or friends here. It doesn't make sense that they'd head out alone like that. And I would have been more vigilant going after Aaron. But I don't dare leave Nick alone while he's like this, because you and I know what happens when he's left to his own defenses. As for Dagon, Dagon's a bit more flaky. He might be visiting family on Olympus, but it's still not like him not to check in.
Cody bit her lip as she turned back to Nick.
Are you still having visions?
Kind of, but they're weird. Not like the usual ones.
Caleb ground his teeth.
Get Zev, he said to Cody. Meet us at Manyara's shop.
Inclining her head, she vanished. Nick was about to ask what Caleb was thinking, but before he could, Caleb took his arm and flashed them to Manyara's lapidary on Saint-Philippe. For the first time since his powers had come in, the trip nauseated him. Badly. No sooner had they appeared in the back courtyard than Nick had to make the mad dash to the nearest bush and fertilize it. Caleb made his own set of noises in response. Unlike Cody and Nick's mom, Kay had a sympathetic gag reflex, which made no sense whatsoever to Nick, given the fact that Caleb was a battle-hardened demon overlord who'd marched his army over the crushed bones of his enemies. Entrails, blood, brain matter, none of that bothered Caleb. But you let a little bile up, and it was over. Nick was on his knees, gasping for air and unable to control himself. Still making a face at Nick, Caleb looked like he was about to join him at any second.
You okay?
Yeah. Whatever I got into, I want to return. This is crap.
Just make sure you keep it over there.
Nick rolled his eyes.
You're such a baby.
Don't make me zap you while you're sick, Gaucher. You know I will.
He would threaten to zap him back, but right now, he wasn't sure he could make good on that threat, so he kept his mouth shut and stumbled toward the door. No need to aggravate the devil when all you could do was upchuck on his shoes. And speaking of, a part of him was still angry at Manyara for binding his Malachi powers when he was born and lying to him for the whole of his life. Never mind setting up his innocent mother to incubate another Malachi without her permission. Because of that, his mother's life was, and would forever be, in danger. It didn't matter that Manyara was an ancient god who claimed she only did it to protect others. No one should play with someone else's life like that. Nor should they make those kinds of decisions for them without at least consulting them. People weren't pawns or a means to an end. They were sentient creatures who deserved to be made aware of their choices and allowed to decide if they wanted to be jerked around or not.
Used like broodmares.
Yet that being said, Meniara was the closest thing to a family he and his mom had ever known. She'd stood by them when no one else had, and had always made sure they had what they needed. That alone allowed him to continue to speak to her. After all, family was family. You didn't have to always agree with each other's points of view or actions to still care about the other person as a whole. Not to mention, Meniara had taken his mother in and helped birth him on her own sofa, so it was hard to stay angry at her all the time. No matter what came, she would always be his Aunt Meni, even when they were fighting. It took several minutes before a tiny woman came to the back door and opened it. She scowled at Nick, who scowled back at her.
Can I help you?
You must be new. I'm Nick. Just here to see my Aunt Meni. A slow smile curved her lips.
Ah, Nick. I've been waiting for you.
Her expression turned dark. Sinister. Then the sclera of her eyes turned completely jet.